Okay, we're back at the top of the hour. It is now time to shift gears. We're going to zero in on some of the big games on Saturday in college football. And of course, all eyes are going to be on LSU, Alabama. But I want to step back for just a moment and reflect on Nebraska's stunning win last weekend against Northwestern. The Holy Hail Mary. And our go-to guy, of course, is the three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska who joins us each and every week. And that, of course, is Jason Peter. Hi, Jay. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Alyssa?
Jason Peter, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. So how about those Cornhuskers? They looked like they were finished with 120 left in that game against Northwestern. But did that Hail Mary, Jason, did that save the season for the Huskers? And, hey, did that save Bo Pelini's job?
Well, for now, you know, certainly if they would have lost that game, you know, you combine that with the loss a couple weeks ago against Minnesota, and it just does not look good for Bo and his staff. But, you know, they pulled a miracle. That's pretty much what it took in order to beat Northwestern, and it's kind of bittersweet. You know, you, on one hand, you have the fact that you're able to win this game in such dramatic fashion, but on the other hand, it's sad because it took a miracle to beat a Northwestern team that was on a four-game losing streak that has really been bitten by the injury bug, you know, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Things are not, I think, what they used to be. And I think it really makes people take a look at this program and say or see how far this program has dropped. You know, not just since the 90s, but even since when Bo first took the job. You know, there was a lot of momentum in his first couple of years. People thought, you know, we really got the right guy here, and you know, he took a defense that was rated, you know, 100 something, and turned him into you know, a top 15 type defense, and things have really just gone downhill, really since the departure of Ndamukong Suh and a bunch of other Bill Callahan recruits. You know, that's kind of where we're at. You know, it's been shocking for me to see the way that people have responded to this win. You know, you'd almost think that Nebraska won the Super Bowl this past week, with the way people are reacting to the Hail Mary against Northwestern, and that's the thing that I was always afraid of, and I think most former players are afraid of, is that the standard has dropped, the expectation has dropped, where people are ecstatic with, you know, winning a game like that. Unfortunately, you know, you didn't beat Alabama on a Hail Mary. You beat Northwestern, who hasn't won a conference game yet. So that's a sad state of Nebraska football.
Yeah, and it's not to minimize that play, but it has been, as you're saying, Jason, it's been a repetitive theme that you guys continually find yourself in precarious situations where your back is against the wall and you got to find a way somehow to pull out a win. And I would just assume, as you're talking about, as an alumni, as a former player, as a national champion at Nebraska, it has got to be so frustrating. In your mind, is it time for Coach Pelini? Is it time for him to move on?
Well, you know, I think it's definitely time for him, if he does keep his job, that he's got to bring in some quality assistants. You know, you can't just be the smartest guy in the room all the time. You got to have some people that you can turn to when your back's up against the wall, and you know, you need some experience in that coaching room. You know, you can't have just a bunch of yes men and do boys that you surround yourself with. You know, it may make you feel great because you've got all the answers and they have to come to you for all the answers, but that's not how a championship team is built. You know, you need experience in that room. You need guys that have been through some battles and know, you know, different things, whether it's, you know, finding the right adjustments or how are you going to conduct practice, you know, this week when you've got half your team, you know, in the training room. And, you know, there's just a lot of things that they don't have on this staff because they're so young and inexperienced. And, you know, I don't know if you know, that's an excuse that that people will live with forever. At some point, they're expecting results, I hope. But, you know, like I said just a moment before, with the response to the Northwestern game, I don't know anymore. I don't know if it's priority number one in this state that the team be a dominant football team. You know, I mean, there was a long while there where Coach Osborne wasn't winning national championships, but he also wasn't getting paid $3 million a year. You know, the times have changed. It's like, it's the excuse that you hear a lot of coaches use is, you know, oh, the game has changed and the playing field is level and you've got to give us some more room and this and that. But, you know, when it comes time to redo those salaries, I don't see any of them saying, you know what, I don't really deserve this $3 million this year. I mean, they're all sitting there with their hands out trying to get as much as they can. So, you know, I just think at a school like this, in a state like this, for them to not have a football program that they can be proud of would be a disgrace.
Husker great Jason Peter joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. We love hearing from you. You can email us at Elissa, E-L-I-S-S-A, at yahoosportsradio.com. You can also follow Jason at his website at jasonpeter.com. We were just recapping, talking about how Nebraska rallied from 21-7, that deficit last weekend against Northwestern. Jason, what does a win like that do for your team? Obviously, it's going to energize you, but you know, to finish like that, it's really going to be important, especially because the Huskers are on the road this weekend in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, and you know, this is where I'm kind of I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place here, because I don't know. You know, the only thing I can kind of compare it to is in '97 when we were playing at Missouri and we needed kind of the kick, you know, to save that season, where the ball was kicked off of one of the players' foot, and a true freshman, Matt Davison, had caught the ball in the end zone, and then we were able to go into overtime and. Ultimately, that saved our season, you know, because Michigan ended up running the table as well, and we kind of would have been left out of the national championship if you know, we had lost a game. But I think then, you know, we had such leadership and experience. I think we realized, hey, you know what, we got lucky here to some degree. I mean, you know, we're very fortunate, and. You know, we can't really celebrate this victory. You know, we're glad that we're able to remain undefeated, but we need to clean up our act. Now, I don't know if that's the same way that this team looks at it. Leadership has always been a problem under Pelini since day one, since he got here. Team leadership, you know, it originally for the first 5 years he did, you know, game captains where it was kind of a rotating sort of thing. And if you had a good week of practice or you were, you know, a star player in the previous week's game, maybe you got the nod to be a game captain. And, well, the problem for me with that is, you know, who's the guy that's standing up at halftime when someone's got to rally the troops? Who's the guy who's on the sideline grabbing face masks? And, you know, is everybody trying to be a leader? Well, I was a captain, you know, so I guess I get to talk, or I get to say this, or I get to say that. And then this year he kind of changes it. He goes with permanent captains, but he picks them. And that, to me, I'd never, ever been part of a team where a coach had picked, you know, who was going to be captain. To me, it's always been you get selected by your peers, because those guys truly know who the leaders are. You know, they spend every minute of the day with you for, you know, 4 or 5 years. They know who the right guys are. And I think, you know, for him, it's a lot about this perception. You know, he wants this perception that everything's fine and dandy. And but even that, you know, I talk about having to have everybody come to him. He wants to have his hand in everything. And I understand to a certain degree being a head coach, but you got to let some other guys do their job. You know, you got to let your assistants coach. You got to let your players decide who's going to be captain. And these are just little things. I think, you know, they may seem little to the outsider, but I know as a player it's important. And, you know, when you look at this team, I could not tell you who the leader is on this team. I could tell you who the best player is. That's Amir Abdullah. Who this offense should be built around. That's Amir Abdullah. But I could not tell you who the leader is on this team.
What about Taylor Martinez? I mean, is he going to return this weekend?
I think everybody's kind of hoping not. There's a lot of people that are crossing their fingers that they've seen the last of Taylor Martinez, which is funny because this year started off as, you know, this guy is
a lot of hype,
make
yeah.
a run at a, you know, maybe a Heisman Trophy, and he was I think he was the coach's pick last year as the All Big Ten quarterback, which to me I just have never been able to wrap my hands around it. I just, you know, for every big play he has, he's going to fumble the ball the next series. And as an offensive player, as a ball handler, that's like rule number one: don't ever turn the ball over. And he's just careless with the ball. And I've just never really bought into his game. But, you know, now the most popular player on the team is always the backup quarterback, and it was Tommy Armstrong, this redshirt freshman.
Mm-hmm.
But he's thrown three picks in the last two games that he's played, three picks each game. So, you know, and then you have the Ron Kellogg III who throws the Hail Mary. But it turns out I think that they're going to go with Tommy Armstrong again. I just think the offense needs to be suited for a redshirt freshman running the offense. You can't come out and you can't run the offense that, you know, you do with a fifth-year start or a fourth-year starter at quarterback. You've got to be able to get some confidence in this kid. And as an offensive coordinator and a staff, those are things you need to realize. But when you have a lot of inexperience on the staff, they probably, I don't even know if that registers.
It is our weekly examination as we're talking some Big Ten football with Jason Peter. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead, and we'll continue visiting with Jason P.